And our next headline deals with the Congressional Black Caucus, which lost one of its founding members this week, Perrin Mitchell of Baltimore, who died of a stroke on Monday. He was 85. The caucus also lost a standing member just last month with the death of California Congresswoman Juanita Millender McDonald. That seat is set for a special election a few weeks from now. And it's in danger of being lost to the CBC because of a contentious race between two black candidates, including her daughter, who are expected to split the vote and open the door for a third candidate who is Latina. On top of that, the CBC is also caught in another battle over its upcoming presidential debate. Last week, a spokesman from New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson's office said he would not be participating in the September debates, which are co-sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus and Fox News. And then, shortly after, the spokesperson retracted the statement and said Richardson was still unsure about making an appearance. So far, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards have all decided not to participate in the debates, Edwards saying his reasoning is because Fox News, in his words, is a biased news operation. Senator Joe Biden has confirmed, though, that he will appear. Meanwhile, last week, the New York Times reported that one reason behind the CBC co-sponsoring the debates in the first place with Fox was because it was the only television network that presented an offer. With all this controversy and perhaps only second-tier candidates left to take the floor come September, what does the CBC stand to gain or lose, perhaps, from this arrangement? To help us make sense of all of this now are GOP strategist Robert Trainum and Donna Brazil, former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore in 2000. She is now running her own political consulting firm in Washington. Hello to the both of you.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, Tony.
Let's start with this. Donna, from your standpoint, is this debate brouhaha good or bad for the CBC or for Fox?
Well, it's mixed. There's no question that the Congressional Black Caucus has decided to go on with a debate that may draw at least maybe two or three of the second-tier candidates. The top-tier candidates, as you mentioned, Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, and former Senator John Edwards have all agreed not to participate in the debate. The DNC has authorized six presidential debates, and Fox will not be included in the lineup. The party is pretty clear that the Fox News network is biased. They don't believe that they have presented a balanced view of the Democrats' position. Just recently on one of its premier nighttime talk shows, there was an entire segment devoted to Senator John Edwards' haircut and his participation in a speech in California. There was no balanced view of John Edwards' positions on the issues of John Edwards' determination to help rebuild the Gulf Coast. So the DNC and others have said, you know, we can hold debates, but Fox clearly is not interested in covering the party fairly and accurately. So at this point, we will not allow Fox to sponsor any of our premier debates.
So, Robert, I'm assuming the GOP would say, well, great, this is great for us.
Well, you know, Tony, what's not great is that this is a travesty for democracy. Here's why. You have a very partisan organization, the Congressional Black Caucus, all Democrats, that went to Fox and says, you know what, no one else has approached us about having a debate about the issues that we care about. Urban issues, about helping the poor, about helping African Americans, about empowerment. Fox News comes along and says, you know what? That's a good point. Let's do something together. This is what democracy should be all about perhaps two perceived opposing points of view coming together and trying to make a third way. And, you know, this is a slap in the face, not only to African-American voters, who, by the way, a lot of them do watch Fox News, and also, too, I reject Donna's argument that there are no, quote-unquote, liberal voices on Fox. You have Alan Combs, you have Susan Estrogen, you have some other folks that appear on Fox regularly. The fact of the matter is that the numbers speak louder than words. Fox consistently outranks its competitors in terms of political discussion and political debate. All right. Good for the Congressional Black Caucus for standing up and saying we're going to continue to try to do this.
Let's move on to another topic. How much concern do either of you see over the possibility of the CBC losing the Millender McDonald seat in the upcoming special elections?
I'm very concerned. As you mentioned, there are two African Americans competing for the vote. The Latino community out there is the fastest growing community. I believe that at some point some of the leaders should sit back and say, look, we're going to put our resources and throw our support behind one of the candidates, and perhaps that may be an opportunity to save the seat.
What do you say, Robert?
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to Congresswoman McDonald's family. There's no question about it that they obviously are suffering right now. But the point is that this is democracy at its best, where the voters are speaking here. I'm not sure what the demographics are of that district. However, the Latino vote, the Mexican vote, that is a huge, huge constituency in California. And frankly, if they're voting by the ballots, and frankly, that's the way it should be. And frankly, if a Latino individual wins the three-way runoff, that's the way it should be.
Another topic I want to broach with you are these new books. We've already talked about Senator Hillary Clinton not going to be in the debate, but she is the subject of a pair of new books. And while they don't drop any bombshells necessarily revealing any radically new information about the senator, they do raise a host of what the Washington Post is calling unwelcome questions. How unwelcome are those questions, Donna Brazile?
Well, there's no question that these books are a distraction to the campaign because, of course, the communication team must respond to all of the salacious allegations, but it's basically recycling old stories, and they're not very well sourced at that. Look, anything that the right wing can say about Hillary Clinton has been said and said and said over and over and over again, so I don't think it will have any effect whatsoever on her campaign or the public. We know for a fact that Hillary is the front runner, and people are going after her from not just the right wing, but also, you know, the political left as well. But she is running a strong campaign. She's been out and crisscrossing the country. She just gave three major commencement addresses at historical black colleges and universities. And, of course, she's talking about the things people care about, health care, education, the cost of gasoline. That's what people should be talking about, not her past.
Well, Robert, both books were done by respectable journalists and published by larger publishing houses, and there would be no apparent strategic smearing of Clinton involved in this, but some are asking that question. Are you one of those?
Well, Tony, you took the words right out of my mouth. What Donna did not mention very conveniently is that one of the authors, Carl Bernstein, is someone who is a prolific journalist, who helped Mr. Woodward during the whole Watergate scandal in terms of writing a lot of the information that we now know about President Nixon's reputation. So having said that, one can make the argument that he is totally objective and totally a very good journalist in terms of breaking news. Look, the fact of the matter is that Senator Clinton is someone that is a very much a very partisan figure. She is very, very polarizing. And frankly, this is a good thing. It's good for democracy and it's good for the debate for some of these questions to be answered, hopefully sooner rather than later.
But do we really care that Hillary Clinton has a drive and ambition to be a to be the president of the United States? Do we really care to go back to talk about her, Bill Clinton, and what happened with Monica Lewinsky? This is a conversation about the future, not looking back at her past.
Well, according to the book sales, we do care. And the fact of the matter is because they're selling, because people are very, very interested in Senator Clinton. And I think this leads to a broader point. People still do not know a lot about Hillary Clinton. She's very defined from a perception standpoint. But what about from a substance standpoint? And we'll see if, in fact, these books really do break new ground.
I want to disagree with Robert on this issue of her being polarizing. She's very energizing, and she's energizing for women. She's energizing for people who want to see a change in the White House in 2008.
You say energizing, I say polarizing. Tomato, tomato.
All right. Let's bring this to a close with this one last topic. This is great. This is about Al Gore and whether or not he has what could be called a shadow candidacy. And I want to direct this towards you, Donna, particularly because of your relationship with him in the past. How has his positioning of himself now as not a candidate, but not necessarily not saying he won't become a candidate in the future, how is this hurting, if it is, the candidacy of people like Clinton and Barack Obama?
There's no question that former Vice President Al Gore is drawing large crowds across the country. People are very excited about what Al Gore is doing now. This campaign to raise national awareness, international awareness on the growing threat of global warming, the climate crisis, has generated a great deal of public support and empathy for Al Gore. People like Al Gore. People often forget that he not only won the popular vote, 51 million Americans voted for him in 2000, but some of us believe that had all of the votes been counted in Florida, we would have a different president today. But the polls suggest right now that while he's not in the race, there's still room for Al Gore to get in the race. But as you know, he hasn't closed the door. He's left it a little ajar, but I don't see any signs that he's planning to run right now.
We have less than a minute, Robert Traynor. Should he make a decision one way or the other, sit back, lay low? What should he do?
You know, Tony, there are two 300-pound gorillas in this race that have yet to announce that they're running for president, and that's Al Gore and Fred Thompson, although reports are saying that Fred Thompson may announce sometime today or perhaps next month.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that Vice President Gore is waiting for the country to come to him. They are waiting for this huge revolution that says, you know what, Mr. Vice President, we have no one else to run. We have no one else that can carry the mantle. You have to run. And actually, Vice President Gore is being very, very smart and being very, very coy by saying, you know what, I'm not sure I'm interested, but I guarantee you, if there's a draft Gore movement that's just overwhelming, I guarantee you he'll get in the race.
That's where we're going to have to stop. That's GOP strategist Robert Trainum and Donna Brazile, former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore in 2000. She now runs her own political consulting firm in Washington. Both joined me from NPR studios in Washington. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.